Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we are going to talk about building your email list. And I just want to start off by saying that, Tony, what was our biggest mistake when we first started blogging for the both of us?
You were going to steal my opening sentence.
Oh, was that your opening sentence?
I knew it.
Well, why don't you do the intro next time?
We both always, this is something we both talk about all the time, is that we really regret not, I don't know if we didn't know about email lists or we didn't know how to implement it, but both of us definitely started a little bit late on email marketing when we were growing our websites.
I mean, I know why I did not start it right away. It's because it cost money to build an email list, right? And at the time when my blog wasn't making any money, I was like, why should I pay, I think it was like $20 a month for something that isn't really making me any money,
right? Yeah, I don't think I knew about email lists. I knew about the RSS feed. And so I knew about hooking it up with Google, right? I think it was Google Feedburner.
Feedburner.
Yeah. So I knew I had the RSS feed, and in my mind, that was the email list. I didn't really understand that there was something else that you could do. And I actually learned about it at a blog conference that I went to, and there was an email marketing company there, and I was like, oh, I'm already doing this. And then I realized I wasn't actually doing it. I was only doing the RSS. So that's when I learned about it.
So it had nothing to do with the money for you?
I didn't know it cost money. I literally didn't have any idea that it was a thing. I thought an email list, I mean, this is back in 2008, 2009. I thought an email list is like I would go into Gmail and type up an email and then I would just BCC it to all 50 of my fans or something. You know, I had no idea that there was a whole system and all these cool things that you could do.
I mean, the main reason I started the email list is I think Ramit Sethi, a mutual friend of ours, literally yelled at me. This was back in 2009, I think. And I was promoting his Earn 1K program. And the way I was promoting it was by writing a blog post. And he's like, you don't have an email list? You need to get an email list. And I was like, okay, but it's $20. Don't get the email list. I was like, okay, all right, fine.
Yeah, I'm sure cost would have been a deterrent if I would have known about it in the early stages of blogging. But I mean, back then. I know now like a lot of plans have an entry level, right? I'm sure we would have both been on the entry level plan initially anyway.
I mean, I wasn't making much money actually when I signed up. It was kind of like a leap of faith type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, email has been around for 40 years. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe even longer than that.
How long? I did not
hear. I think it's 40 years.
No.
40 years. As old as you are. I mean,
that's not possible because there wasn't an internet.
There was the internet. Anyway.
Okay. I don't believe that.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is because a lot of people say that email is dead, but it for my store and my blog, for my blog, it's like 90% of the revenues. And for my store, it's like 30%. Compared to like social, everyone's doing social media and that sort of thing now. And I just think about the reach, right? The open rate, I think on average is like 20% for email. For social media, it's like 1 to 2%, I want to say.
I'm curious because I've seen those email is dead things too, but everybody that I know and everybody that you know, I would say, that emails their list regularly, that has any strategy at all, and I'm not talking about a huge comprehensive strategy like certain people we know or things that you and I are doing, but even people that are doing basic email marketing are getting results. So I'm wondering who these people that think email marketing is dead. I feel like maybe they don't even have a list or they're not emailing, because I don't know a single person that has an email list that doesn't feel like they need to be doing better with it or are seeing success right now.
Maybe it's just a clickbait title. I don't know. I fall for it every time, actually.
You're like, wait, is it dead? I can save money. I can save money. I can stop paying.
Actually, it is my greatest expense. I think for the blog, it's probably my greatest expense.
Yeah, it's probably most people. I would say it's probably most people's greatest expense unless they have a team, right? If they're paying other people on their staff.
Right.
But other than that, email marketing, because it gets more expensive with the more people that are on your list.
Right. Which I think is actually kind of wrong. Like you should be paying by the set, but that's a different story altogether.
Oh, what did you just say?
I think you should pay by the send as opposed
really?
To just, because that way you're just storing emails. You're paying someone to just store something for you, right? It only costs them money when you send an email.
Okay. We could get so right. off
I know.
Off topic
I know you,
on this because I don't agree
philosophy.
With that at all. But
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
back all right, let's get back on topic here. Today, we're going to be talking about how to build an email list quickly. And I think we'll start off with the ones that don't cost money, and then we'll transition over to ways to build your email list really quickly if you have some money lying around. I guess we'll just start off with my best email acquisition method, which is my pop-up form. Now, we have some mutual friends that rhyme with AD Auth, who is vehemently against pop-ups on theirs. Is he using pop-ups now? I don't even know.
You know, I don't know, because there was a big debate several months ago where I thought he was coming over to the dark side. But I have to admit, having known our mutual friend for a long time, I was in his camp for much longer than I should have been. And actually, it was through e-commerce that I realized, because I started using pop-up forms with e-commerce, because I noticed all the other e-commerce stores were doing them, that I actually started using them on my blog. I was never using them on my blog before I got into e-commerce. And when I saw how effective they were for sales on my store, I realized that I was completely missing the boat in regards to the website.
Oh, I didn't know that. It was
yeah.
Okay.
Probably because I subscribed to his crazy ideas of not having them.
So I think there's a study done by our friends Noah Kagan over at sumo.com that said outside of the welcome mat is like literally when your whole screen is taken over.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pop-up form is the second highest converting form that you can have on your site. And it's a lot bigger than just one of those static forms that you might have on one of your pages. I guess you can't just slap up a pop-up. So obviously it depends on what you do. So if you just say, join my newsletter, obviously that's not going to work as well. So you want to have some sort of lead magnet. I'm curious, what is your lead magnet actually?
So as you know, I have multiple lead magnets.
Yes.
And
but for your pop-up form though?
It depends on the page you land on.
Oh, really?
Which is one of the reasons why. And of course, I've only used like two. You have a lot more experience with the multiple email providers. I have not jumped around like you have. But that's one of the things I love about Drip. And I'm sure you can do this in other services too. But that you can put a pop-up on specific pages. Mm-hmm. So when people land on a recipe page for me or anything with the cooking, they're going to get a lead magnet that is totally has to do with food. But if they land on a page about homeschooling, they're going to get a totally different pop-up. And so the pop-up just completely depends on the page that you land on. My most popular pop-ups though are the ones where it's seasonal. I mean, my website traffic is seasonal too. So if I can hit people, if they're coming for Christmas stuff, my Christmas pop-up converts the best. I mean, I think that's just the nature of this stuff that I blog about because it's so seasonal. It's a pain in the butt. I would definitely not recommend having, I mean, I probably have 25 different lead magnets and that's really hard to manage and I'm trying to streamline it. I think your version of having just a few different things, you know, you've got your mini course and I think
I've got three options. Just yeah. Purely from a management perspective, I mean, I think in an ideal world, you want to do what you're doing essentially is for each piece of content, you have one that's very specific to that. But for me, that's a little bit unmanageable.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that I didn't start doing, right? I did one at a time and you build it up. Because once you set up the pop-up, if it's an evergreen piece of content, you don't really have to change anything. Maybe you're updating the flow afterwards, which is a totally another topic. But I think once you start doing it, it's in place. And I don't touch them now, but it's definitely something that I wouldn't jump in with 20 pop-ups. I'd start with one. Find your best performing post or your best performing type of content and create some sort of lead magnet for that piece of content and then have a pop-up on any relevant page.
And if you're running an e-commerce store, like the spin to win pop-up has done really well for me. And this is where you give an email and then you can spin the wheel for valuable prizes and discounts. There's this guy I just interviewed from Brewmate. Austin Bronner is a mutual friend of ours. He always makes fun of me for promoting spin to win pop-ups, but Dylan of Brewmate, he used spin to win pop-ups to grow his list and he grew his business to an 8-figure business on the back of email marketing. And that spin to win pop-up is his highest converting form as well.
Yeah. I'm not a huge spin to win fan, as you know.
Yep.
I've always gone with the friends with benefits version of the pop-up. I know, right?
What?
It converts. The friends with benefits converts.
How does this friends with benefit? What do you get?
So when people come to the site, I do something about, hey, would you like to be a friend with benefits? I mean, the verbiage is very similar to that. I change it up every once in a while to test it. And basically, they're just going to get a discount code. I honestly think, because at first when I started doing it, I said, oh, join our VIP or something like that. It didn't convert very well. And I mean, I got some signups, but I didn't think it was super effective. But then when I started changing the verbiage just to be, I don't know what the right word is, provocative, maybe. I don't know.
It's risque. Maybe they're expecting something more, and then all they get is coupon code.
They're very disappointed when they get the 15% off. So for me, that's what I've used on my e-commerce store, is just changing the verbiage on the pop-up to be more enticing for people, because I think it just gets their, it gets their attention, right? And the other thing that, real quick about pop-ups, because I know there are people that hate them and think they're horrible, and obviously we know several people. I think you can't look at this from your own point of view. If you're creating content, doing something on the web, e-commerce store, you can't, because we are all very critical. When we go to another website, we're criticizing everything on the site. We're looking at the ads. We're looking at their links. That's what we do because that's the business we're in. So I think as a creator, you have to step out of that and think of it as a user. Because when I talk to my friends that don't know anything about being on the internet as far as creating content, they don't care about pop-ups. They don't notice a lot of things like that. So I think we have to kind of step out of our own viewpoint and accept and love the pop-up because it works.
Yeah. All right. So outside of the pop-up, what would you say is your second highest converting form? I know for me, it's the in-content click to, I guess it's still a pop-up, but it's like a within the content click to pop-up form.
So I actually hit people in the content and also hit them with another pop-up once they scroll.
Do they have to click, or does it just...
No, if they're on the page for, I think it's 30 seconds, then it pops up. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if they've been on for 30 seconds, they're actually reading the content. So my highest converting, and mine are so different than yours. All of mine lead to something that they get immediately. It's an immediate download, or it's immediate video. It's something that they're getting the second that they click. So they convert really well in the content because people are reading about, let's just say, kids and chores, right? So they're reading about how to get your kids to do chores. They're following along. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, I've got this chore list. It's all broken down by age group for your kids. If you'd like a copy that you can print out or hang on your fridge, whatever, just click right here. So those in-content ones work so well for me because people are already in the middle of learning about what I'm talking about. And then they're going to get something on top of that.
Yeah, for me, all paths lead to more or less the same autoresponder. It's just the verbiage that I use just kind of depends on what the post is. So I actually have some posts though where the in-content stuff doesn't work as well, just because I'm taking kind of a shortcut compared to you.
Yeah. And I've tried a lot of different things with the in-content. I've tried giant buttons, right? Click here to get, basically completely interrupting their reading. But I know for you, when you, I don't want to say hide, because hide's not the right word, but when you embed it, and you, I know you talk about not having the box around it, you sort of make it look like part of the content. I know that does really well for you. For me, giving them like a flashy button seems to work a little bit better. Just really interrupting their flow for my readers seems to work well. But I think it all depends on who your readers are for that.
I think you're talking about the bottom of the form one.
Like, oh, is that at your bottom? I thought that was inside your flow.
No,
or
not inside,
inside your content.
Well, you know, okay, I don't know if you've noticed it, but sometimes when I read a publication and there's like a huge box, sometimes I think it's the end of the article and I just leave, like in the middle of the article.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
The big publications do that all the time now, if you noticed.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's really hard on mobile.
Right, exactly.
That's where it sucks. It's on mobile because, it, you know, then you're like, and then there's sometimes an ad underneath that and you're like, oh, I'm at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, I think, is the rationale. And I'm going to give Brandon Turner credit for this. I actually call it the Turner technique. When I actually took out the box away from my email form at the bottom of the post, it actually doubled the conversion for that form because people didn't leave right away.
Yeah, I found that anything... I have to, and I don't know if my readers just aren't as, I mean, you're writing to people that are looking to build businesses on the internet, and I'm writing to stay-at-home moms or working moms but are probably going out and working a job at a business. Mm-hmm. And so I think for my readers, they need to be told what to do. It needs to be very clear. And the more I try to sort of disguise stuff, it doesn't work as well.
Is that why you're always trying to tell me what to do?
That's why I'm telling you what to do. Yes, that's absolutely why. It's just I can't stop it. Now I've been doing it too long. but I feel like my reader is like, here's what I envision. And this is, I think, a helpful exercise for people that are doing this. Think about your reader. Think about what they're doing. I've envisioned the person reading my blog content. They're on their phone. They're on the couch, or they're trying to make dinner, or they're watching a show. They're doing like three other things. And they're not completely focused on what I'm, my content. And so for me, I want to really make it very obvious anything that I want them to do, because they're probably very distracted because they, I mean, I know they have children, they probably work, they're tired. So the more I can give them to make it easier, the better. So I think that really depends. I feel like if someone lands on your site, they're landing for a reason, right? They've Googled, they've come to you from Google, they're trying to figure out how to do something or learn more about a specific service or product. And so they're already like, they're craving information. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's just my thought.
I mean, you should just test to see which one works. Like, I was a little skeptical when I removed the borders and everything from mine, but the effects were immediate for my blog.
Yeah. I've tested some, but I know that whenever I just become really obnoxious, the conversions go up.
So. So all the time then.
Yeah. So all the time, basically. Yeah.
I guess I have some other forms on my blog. They don't convert as well, like the sidebar one. I guess the only tip I would say there is if you're going to include a form, always have an image next to it, which gives someone the illusion, I guess, of getting something tangible when they actually sign up. Yeah. Do you do that also? Or I think you I do, right?
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. And of course, I have a lot of forms, so I'm going back and fixing some of the older ones that I set up a long time ago and forgot about. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to go back and do that. I'm curious, though, don't you have an email sign up in your author line?
I do, yes, the byline. Yeah, I think when I first wrote about that sign up form, it was one of, I think, the top three. It since dropped down, so I would say it's like number four now. It's not as high as it used to be, but the rationale for that is a lot of people just kind of look at the author byline, right? Who wrote the post and that sort of thing. And it's just a very logical place to put a sign-up form because people's eyes naturally gravitate there.
I'm curious because that's definitely not something that I would know how to do. Is that something that a regular internet person could do? Or is that like a Steve Chu hack?
No. It is just a link right next to the author byline. It's like one line of code in your theme, essentially.
So yeah, that's what I mean. You put it in the theme.
I put it in the theme, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it is a Steve Chu hack. Thank you.
No further questions. You've edited your theme multiple times, right? You might have broken it, but I mean, you've edited it before. All right. So I think we've talked about all the forms on the blog. Do you have anything else to add?
No. I think we got them.
So that's basically how to leverage your own traffic, right, to get email signups. Let's talk about really fast ways to kind of grow your list now. And it usually involves collaboration and that sort of thing. There is this company that Tony and I ran. It was called GoBrandWin. And it was a service to run group giveaways. Do you remember how that worked now, Tony? It's been a while since we've run one.
I do. Well, yeah. And I've been running group giveaways for a long time. It was one of the ways that I did build my email list early on because I worked with – actually, there were 11 or 12 bloggers. And we would run it's kind of not to get way too in the weeds. We would contact brands, get products to give away, and then obviously people would need to sign up and for our email list to be entered into the giveaway. I think the only risk for that is not the risk, but you can get a poor quality list, right? You want to make sure that what you're doing is going to attract the right type of subscriber to your email list, because what you don't want to do, because you're paying per subscriber, you don't want a bunch of people that are never going to open your emails or click through or click on an affiliate link or purchase something from you.
Yeah. So just to be clear, you don't necessarily have to pay. So for example, like if I was going to do a group giveaway for My Wife Quit Her Job, I might contact some buddies who are maybe selling courses or services in the e-commerce niche. And we bundle all those together. And then we all basically send to our own list about the giveaway. And the winner's drawn. And then at the end, we all keep the combined list. And you have to be very careful here. As long as everyone is within the same niche and has the same customer demographic, that's when these work well. So, and you also have to trust the people that you're working with, right? That they're not going to just randomly spam the people that you end up getting.
So I like the idea of doing it, but I think there's definitely some risks in it. And when I said pay, I meant like once you get that subscriber, you've got to pay for them.
Oh, you got to pay for them. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm talking about. You don't want like, I mean, it's great if you get, let's just say you get 1,000 subscribers from the giveaway. That's great. But if the open rate is 2% from those people and you're paying to have those 1,000 subscribers, then you've got to really quickly. And I think if you're going to do the giveaway, you've got to be committed to pruning your list pretty regularly after the giveaway so that you aren't in, that it's not end up costing you money.
If only you didn't have to pay to store a subscriber.
Yes. Only you could pay per send.
Yes, that'd be a big difference. Yeah, I mean, so you got to be very careful about pruning it. There's obviously some best practices involved with that, which I we can kind of glance on that a little bit. You know, usually when you run one of these giveaways, there's an autoresponder sequence associated with it. And so anyone who hasn't opened any of them, you can just delete right off the bat. I would say. Yeah.
So you have to back up a second. I think you need to define autoresponder, because this is a word that I thought everybody knew.
Oh,
and I was okay. I was in a corporate business meeting once, and our friend Andrea mentioned the word autoresponder, and the person, one of the people, like a high up guy, very smart, he's like, started doing like a robot move and was like, autoresponder. Like, I don't know if everybody knows what that means. So,
all right, go ahead.
Could you define it? Well, to me, an autoresponder is a series of emails that you pre-write and they go out on a schedule. You don't have to do any work once you've written them up, and they go out on a schedule to people after they sign up for your list. So I'm trying to think like a post-purchase sequence, right? If someone buys something from your site, you're going to give them 6 emails that tell them all the details they need to know about whatever they bought. It can be about anything. You know, if they sign up for a lead magnet, you could give them a series of emails on how to use the lead magnet or how to be benefited. I mean, even your mini course is truly just an autoresponder.
It is. That's correct. That is all it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically,
not all it is, of course.
Yes.
Not all it is. I don't want to diminish
that. If people aren't engaging with your series of emails, then that means they're not really into what you're sending out, and they should be pruned right away.
Although I do think this is one mistake, not to get way off topic with the autoresponder. I do think with your autoresponder, you should test it every once in a while, changing titles and send times, things like that. Because I found that just by changing the titles up, and I know you don't like emojis and email titles, but for me, adding emojis and email titles actually or subject lines worked really well. Doesn't work for everybody.
This is just one of those things where, like, it's kind of like our friend in pop-ups, right? Like, I don't want to be known as the emoji guy. Like, I feel like for the more serious topics that I talk about, like, I don't,
yeah,
you know.
Which is better, big commas for Shopify, and then there's, like, the tongue sticking out yeah, emoji. but not just emoji. Obviously, I know emojis don't work for everybody, but changing up just the subject lines, even yeah, the verbiage absolutely. In that thing, I think that stuff does matter. So I always liked, and I think one of the problems that most people get into as content creators is that this stuff all takes time. It takes time away from other things that you need to do to build your business. So once you get it done, you tend to set it and forget it and not worry about it anymore. And I think it's really important to go back and tweak things with, especially your autoresponder and even things like your forms and changing things like the border, right? Doing those little things every once in a while will help you test and improve your email quality and your list quality.
I think we'll have to do another episode entirely on open rates and deliverability also.
That's what I've been focusing on this year.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And just everything that goes into that. But yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
So we talked about group giveaways, and in theory, they're free, right? Because you're working with other people and you're leveraging the power of other people's lists. Let's shift gears now a little bit and talk about some of the paid options. And we can, I guess, start with the most obvious one, which is a traditional giveaway. I know you've run a bunch of these in the past, right?
Yes, I have. It actually was very effective to do a traditional giveaway. And the thing about a traditional giveaway, too, is you don't necessarily need a group of people to do it with. You can run it totally on your own just to, you know, your social audience or putting it out there asking for shares. I do think when you're running a giveaway, one of the things people don't think about enough is the prize has to be really good and it has to be related to what you talk about. So for you, if I was advising you and you wanted to do a giveaway, I'd probably tell you to either give away a consulting call, right? Or your course.
Right.
Right. I mean, your course is a pretty huge ticket item, but you don't want to give away an Amazon gift card, because then you're going to get all these giveaway people that don't care at all about e-commerce or care about building a business. They're going to sign up because they want the $500 Amazon gift card. You have to pick a prize that is very related to, like for me, KitchenAid mixer, Vitamix blender, something that's expensive, people aren't going to buy for themselves, but totally related to what you talk about.
Yeah. And I guess if you're in e-commerce, would you want to give products in your store, or would you want to give like complimentary products?
Yeah, I've always done a gift card.
Okay, for your own store. Okay.
One, because then, you know, obviously your gift card, if you give away, let's just say $100 gift card for your store, that's not what it's costing you.
Right.
And then there's a chance that they don't redeem it. So then you're not out any money, right? I mean, there's always that chance, or they don't redeem all of it, or they go over, right? Because they want more things. So I always do the gift card rather than specific products for my store. But I think, I mean, that's something that I think people just need to do whatever they think is going to work best. Personally, I think the gift card does, but it might be different for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do you get traffic to your contest?
So for me, I do a lot of social media. That's where I try to use social media to drive to the email list. Mm-hmm. I would write a blog post about it. I would ask other people to promote it. And one of the things you can do with a giveaway, especially if you're using one of the tools like Viral Sweep or Gleam,
yep.
then people can get more entries from sharing the giveaway, whether it's by sharing on social media or I think you can, email a friend. There's a bunch of different options. And so I hope that my audience that I currently have will help share the giveaway and sort of grow the audience.
I mean, incidentally, Viral Sweep is how I launch any one of my platforms. Like when I first launched my YouTube channel, I did a giveaway where I think I gave away a course or a consult or something like that. And just by subscribe, and one of the ways to get extra entries was to subscribe to my channel and actually watch my first video. And just people want to win the contest. And so they naturally do all those things that gain them additional entries. And that's what that tool allows you to do, which makes it really powerful.
And I think the nice thing about the tool is, and this is why I would recommend if you want to do a giveaway on your own, using the tool, because Facebook does have a lot of rules about what you can do in a giveaway, as far as you can't actually force people to like your page. There's just different, and the rules change a lot. And so the nice thing about using a tool like Viral Sweep is that they will make sure that you're in compliance with whatever platform you're using, like Instagram, Facebook, whatever. You're not going to be against their terms of service, which could hurt you down the road.
Yeah, actually, there's a whole bunch of disclaimers. This is why using a service is probably essential, because it basically gives you the cookie cutter stuff to put in your disclaimer. So so everything's legal. I think I forget what the limits are. If the prize is like a lot more expensive, then I think it's a little bit more stringent. If you're just giving away smaller things, I don't think it's as big of a deal.
Yeah. And something to think about too, which I think people don't think about at all, is that if you're giving away a certain dollar amount of prize, you actually have to send that person a 1099 or W, what is it? 10, you have to get their W-9.
I think that's if right? the prize is like over $5,000 or something. I can't remember.
I don't even think it's that much.
It's not? Okay.
But it's significant, right? It's not like if you're giving away, a $200 item. But that's why I like those tools too, is because they actually have all that included in the terms and conditions. And the other thing you have to realize is you are running a sweepstakes. So now no one's ever going to do this now that we've talked about
it. I know, I was about to say, you're scaring people away from this.
Well, I know, but you're running a sweepstakes. So you do have to follow like federal or state law in regards to the sweepstakes. And I've heard one or two times where a blogger has gotten in trouble because someone that lost didn't feel like the giveaway was fair. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in theory, you can have to deal with much bigger issues when you're running this. So that's why those tools, then they just handle all that for you, right? You get all the right verbiage, you get all the legal disclaimers, and you're just putting up the content and sending it out, right? And you don't have to deal with all the other junk, which I think is why, I mean, even though you and I don't like to pay for a lot of things, we would pay for the giveaway tool.
I think, though, if you're doing something small like consulting calls or whatnot, I think you're
fine. Well, how much is that worth? I mean, a consulting call with you is probably $5,000,
isn't it?
I
mean, if someone's coming after me, it's worth like 50 cents, but,
For you, a dollar.
Let's see. So for giveaways, the same rules apply once you get that list. It's similar to a group giveaway. You should go through and prune it, put people on autoresponder sequence, see who's engaged and that sort of thing. Actually, one thing we haven't talked about is post giveaway. What do you do post giveaway?
This is where I think people fall off the wagon, because they get excited, they get the email list, and then you and I've talked to so many people who are like, oh, I don't email them. Right?
Exactly.
Or I sent two emails and then I was done. And I think that's really important. I think you remember this. When I was starting my email marketing for my e-commerce store, I locked myself in my office for 3 days and wrote this, 104-day sequence.
Those were a glorious 3 days. I didn't hear from you for a while.
I know. It was the best 3 days of your life. Yes. I'm sure it's circled on your calendar, highlighted. But I think it's really important that if you are spending any money or effort to get people on your list, that then you go through and create a really nice sequence for them afterwards. And once again, this can be the autoresponder. It can be automatic. You write it up and then schedule it, and it just goes out automatically to these folks, where you're introducing yourself to them. That's a big one, right? It's kind of funny that we're recording this. This morning, I got an email to someone who... It was when someone signs up for a lead magnet on my site, they get an email that basically is like, here's your lead magnet, right? And it sends them, they can click and download it right then. It's not terribly well done. I could do a lot better job. But what's funny is she responded to that email and said, who are you?
Really?
Because what I want to do when people sign up for a lead magnet is just give them the lead magnet and then they get in the sequence, right?
Right.
Like then they get an email about me a day later. And because usually they are there and they need something right then. They want the math worksheet. They want the chore chart. Like they don't want to know about me. I was wrong about this lady. She clearly was like, who the heck are
you?
But
don't they
know
you from the blog post or?
Well, you would think, but if they're coming from Google or Pinterest, they might not have any idea who I am.
That's true.
Right? And that's where most of my lead magnet people come from, is Pinterest. So I woke up and I saw this email. I was like, who are you? That was all it said. Like, no caps, nothing, just all lowercase. And it hit me. I was like, okay, I could probably do a better job of putting that lead magnet at the top of the email, but then just a little bit about me so that people aren't confused as to why they're getting it. And it would probably help my unsubscribe rate is not high, but it'd probably, you know, make it lower.
Right.
And anyway, so I think once you get people on the list, you've got to send them whatever you promised them. Big thing, deliver on your promise. So if it's a 6-day mini course, you better have 6 days, if not over deliver, make it. I know you have it's 6 days, but it's really 17 for
especially
your
30, but yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, over deliver, tell them about yourself, tell your story, give them other content, which is what you do with your mini course. I mean, it's 6 days, but they're getting a lot more content than that. And it's important to take them through that sequence so that once that's over, they stay on your list. They keep opening, even if they don't buy. I know the point of your mini course is to sell your full course at the end.
It's also affiliate offers too, but yeah.
Right, exactly. Like have another way to monetize that, right? In the post sign up sequence. Mm-hmm. So not only do you want them to buy the course, but hit them with affiliate links. Maybe they're not ready to buy your course, but they are going to sign up through an affiliate link and get ConvertKit or get Bluehost or GoDaddy, whatever it is. You want to give them, continually give them things so that they don't cost you money, that you're making money from them.
Yeah. I mean, for me, after a giveaway, I silo those people for a while just to make sure.
Yeah.
And then I'm very careful about filtering out the people who are not engaged before I introduce them into my main pot. Because if you keep sending emails to people who aren't opening them or engaging, that will actually reduce your deliverability rate in the long run.
Yeah. And then I think you and I both have a sequence to get people off the list.
Yes. Yes. Sunset sequence.
Yeah.
So when I run a giveaway, I traditionally run some Facebook ads too. And that's like another topic in itself. But you can get leads pretty inexpensively this way also with the right offer. And so that's just another way to amplify things in case your social platforms and that sort of thing are not that large.
Right, if you have a smaller audience in general.
Yeah.
I'm curious though, do you run ads to, I think you do actually, run ads to lead magnets, not just giveaways?
For the blog, I only run for the most part to, well, it's evolved over time. So I guess it just depends on the time period. Right now, I'm running them to lead magnets because you have to warm people up for My Wife Quit Her Job, right? It's a high ticket price. For my e-commerce store, I'll just run ads, you know, straight to products or product families and that sort of thing.
I'm curious for e-commerce, when people, if you're running an ad and people, so someone's landing on the Hanky page, right? And they want to buy the 3-pack. If they don't buy, are you hitting them with any sort of email sign up before they leave? I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
An exit.
Same things that we've been talking about here. Actually, the lead magnet, since you're a provocative one, I was thinking, hey, you want to participate in some Hanky Panky?
Yes, you should totally do that. I would like to see your results next recording.
Yeah, we'll see how well that one converts. Yeah.
You're like, I have 10 million subscribers. What do I do?
And then the final strategy is also a giveaway, but it's something that actually, this is the only way I run giveaways now. It's the Facebook Messenger giveaway. And I know you haven't run any of these for your stuff yet.
I'm not.
The reason why I like them is when you run a traditional giveaway, you got to set up viral sweep, you got to have a prize, and then at the end of, you know, 2 weeks or however long your giveaway is, you got to announce the winner, and then you got to set it up all over again and get new people. With Facebook Messenger, what's nice is that you can have a computer handle all that for you. So what you do is you set up what is called a Facebook Messenger bot, and what it does is, you know, it grabs the email automatically, and then it will pick a winner automatically. And you have to do a little bit of setup where when someone wins, you give them a coupon code or something or a code to redeem the prize. And when they lose, you know, they get a consolation. Like if they lose, they get a consolation prize. And all this stuff is just kind of which autoresponder sequence they're put on is all kind of controlled by the bot. You know, you basically just turn it on and off whenever you need to. So, of course, this assumes, though, that you have more than one prize to give on a consistent basis. So, for example, for our store, we run these for, like, we'll give away, you know, free monogrammed handkerchiefs. And just every day, this bot is automatically, you know, selecting winners, giving out consolation prizes and that sort of thing. So it just kind of all runs on autopilot.
Where do people find out about this giveaway?
You have to run ads for it. Or you can share it with social also. Like there's a link where they click on it and they can enter in that way. But for the most part, I run ads to this. Yeah.
And this is just primarily to build up your messenger list?
It's to build up the email list and the messenger list. That's another bonus.
Okay, so you're
doing
both.
A messenger subscriber and an email subscriber. So I can contact them via email as well as Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. I think for me personally, like I like that idea. And I know, I don't know currently, but I know messenger subscribers are pretty inexpensive. Are they still... Is that still the case?
Yeah. I mean, so I mean, for a giveaway, it can be like anywhere from 30 to 80 cents, but you're getting an email also.
Right.
Maybe like 70% of the time. It really just depends on your industry, like how much it would cost.
Yeah. Personally, giveaways are probably my least favorite way to grow the email list.
But it's the fastest. That's why we're talking about it.
It's the fastest. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think for me... I've done giveaways too, so I'm not being critical at all. I think the best way for me, the best way is with the lead, some sort of lead, whether it's a PDF, a video, a mini course, anything that you can do to get, because I feel like those people just are stickier for the most part.
I agree. Yep.
But when you're just getting started, you got to try all of them, in my opinion. You've got to try, maybe not all of them, but you got to try as many as you can to figure out what is best for you and your site. I think for me, the lead magnets have been, I regret not doing a specific lead magnet sooner. You know, once I decided to have an email marketing plan, my plan was put the sign up in the sidebar and just hope people sign up for my email list. I mean, that works, but it doesn't work as well as many other things.
Yeah, I think it's a chicken and egg problem. Like when you're first starting out with building your audience, you have nothing, right? And so,
yeah.
You can have like the best lead magnets in the world, but if people aren't coming, they're obviously not going to sign up. So I think giveaways are a good way to jumpstart things. You know, maybe not do them all the time, but it's a good way to jumpstart. And then once you have that initial trickle, then you want to, you know, make sure you grab as many of those leads as possible from your existing traffic.
Yeah. And I think that the thing of what's nice about a lead magnet is that, similar to a giveaway, if you have a great lead magnet, people will just share it naturally.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times that I've shared your mini course with people who seem interested in e-commerce. So I'm expecting an affiliate check at some point from you. But
I can't tell you how many times I've shared your Borax Ant Killer post.
Well, I guess we're even. But lead magnets are nice in the same way as giveaways. They're very shareable. And I think that's something that people need to focus on is what can you be giving away that's shareable? What can you be giving away to get people on your list that other people will be willing to share without having to think about it?
Totally true. Totally true. You have to give away something good. And if something's really good, people are naturally going to talk about it.
And I think email is basically like every other thing in content creation. And that is, once you get started, it has the ability to snowball.
Yeah. All right. Let's sum things up priority-wise, right? You have your site, pop-up form, content-specific lead magnet. I think those are your biggest bang for your buck, right?
Yeah. Number one priority. Get people on your list. Sign up for something. I know in most of these service providers have a free tier, so you're not going to pay anything right away.
Yeah. And so if you're challenged, I guess, in designing pop-up forms, I think Privy is a good service. Most email marketing providers will provide like a standard pop-up also, which works just fine, actually. I think you're just using the standard ones, right?
I use a standard drip one, and I only customize it to my site colors. There's no design component at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And Tony does great with that. If you have the time, then, you know, based on whatever post someone's reading, creating a specific lead magnet will do wonders for your conversion rate, right? I'm sure yours are much higher than mine.
Yeah. And totally free, right? It's a totally free option.
Right.
Doesn't cost you anything to create a lead magnet.
If you want to grow fast or if you're just trying to kind of jumpstart your list, I would probably go with, if you don't want to spend money, a group giveaway might work. But the problem with the group giveaway is you kind of need to have something also, and you need to work with someone with similar sized list. So if you only have like 100 subscribers, you want to be working with other people who have just 100 subscribers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They won't. I mean, people that don't have a similar subscriber base won't work with you.
Right. Exactly. And then finally, if you have money and you want to amplify things, you can try traditional giveaways or the Facebook Messenger giveaways, or, you know, you can leverage your social media and that sort of thing to get email addresses that way.
Yeah, I would leverage a Facebook Messenger giveaway. Probably that would be my priority if I had a little bit of money to spend, just because you're getting people on Messenger and the email. So you're getting sort of a double dip.
Yeah.
You just have more abilities to market to them over time.
That's probably like another episode in itself where we can talk about Messenger and the benefits of that. Yeah, I think we've covered it all. Anything more to add, Tony?
I just think people need to start doing it. Yep. I think people are afraid, and it's a little bit of an unknown for a lot of people, but you can't, don't be like Steve and I.
Well, don't be cheap, actually. That's what I was going to say, because I'm quite frugal. Like it's $20 a month. Pay the money, because you'll get a lot more out of it than you're paying for, let's just say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.